Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series, by VeloFix.com, RunCatalina.com, the Catalina Island Marathon, the 40th anniversary coming up on Saturday, March 11th. We're also brought to you by the Challenged Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $80 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. And you can check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes, and definitely subscribe to our Endurance World newsletter. Our next guest, Dominique Pichet from Mont Tremblant in Quebec, one of the coolest triathlon destinations on the planet. Dominique, how are you?
Well, bonjour, Bob. Very well. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for taking time. So, Dominique, when did you first find the sport of triathlon? What were your sports growing up?
Well, you know, I'm a downhill skier since 4 years old. And a badminton player. I cycled and I ran just a bit, but I never really swam until 1995. And it's in 1995 that I found out with a good friend of mine, Bruno, that I could not swim.
Because Bruno actually was doing triathlons, correct?
That's correct. He was an Ironman and someone that I met that I owe my love of triathlon to. And so he wanted to see if I could swim, and the results was I had practice to do.
So what was your first triathlon?
My first triathlon was, I imagine, in 1996, if I recall correctly, in Oka, at the beach in the spring. And the funny thing is that I had trained with Bruno in the pool, and it was an outdoor swim, and finally, I came out very last with Bruno beside me and the lifeguard on each side of us. And our two bikes were, I think, the last ones on the racks. In any case, we did the triathlon. We had a great time. And to find out that the course was a bit longer than an Olympic try, and it was, unfortunately, the longest swim I never swam. That's why that I most probably finished last. And I said to Bruno, boy, I said, I find this very long in the water.
That was pretty fun. And what were you doing profession-wise back then?
Well, back then, I had started the business. I had just finished college, and I had started an event business in the region of Ottawa. And it was growing very, very fast, and I was living every moment of it. And I was practicing triathlons every weekend with Bruno, and we're doing one on Saturday and then driving to the other on the Sunday. Did that for the 5 years, and I just fell completely in love with the sport.
It's a very special sport. And you were in Lake Placid for the first ever Ironman Lake Placid in 1999?
Well, no, in 2000, actually.
And, oh, in 2000,
you know, I mean,
okay.
In 2000, and I've got to go back to a good friend of mine, which is Mark Roy and Isabel from SportsStats, that I got to know in 1996 with TBM Sports and Fitness Events. Actually, that's when Mark bought SportsStats. And we became friends at that point, and I followed him with Isabel as they grew their business. And in 2000, I was able to witness my first mass start with Ironman in Lake Placid on Mirror Lake. And here, Mike Riley say, you are an Ironman to all these finishers, and I just completely was transformed.
And it was, now, at that point, had you already been in Mont Tremblant and realized, wow, this could be really good for this city?
Well, you know, no, at that point, no. The reason is that it all got together in 2003. I was working for another company at that point, and I had the resort as a customer. And it was a triathlon that had gone over there for many, many, many years, and I had stopped producing in 1998. So they asked me, would you take it back? And I said, of course. And I brought it back in a new element. And we started this triathlon in 2004 with just underneath 130 participants. And I remember my mayor saying to me, he says, where do you want to go with this? Well, I said, Mr. Mayor, we'll be wise enough, and we'll attract an Ironman in our town. And I can tell you by this point, he was very polite. And he said, oh, well, of course, of course. But he never knew that we were going to get there a few years down the road.
So you're doing this is a short distance race. And then you met, I think Mark Roy was also instrumental in meeting with the Ironman or World Triathlon in 2011 or so, I'm thinking, to talk about actually bringing the Ironman to Mont Tremblant. What was their reaction when you talked to them about that?
Well, you know, I mean, from 2004, I witnessed every year, most of the years, Lake Placid. And I based my production on a short course with the services and the attention that Ironman was giving to their athletes and experience that they were getting out of it. And when I got a call, I think it's on the 28th of October, 2010, I was then a police officer for the Montreal Police Service, and I was at my desk, and the phone rang, and it was Mark. Mark Roth says, Dom, he says, they're looking for an Eastern Canadian destination, and if you're still thinking about it, your chance is up. I said, well, of course. I said, when would they want that done? And then we were in a big project with the Montreal Police Service, and I was contributing to a major event, and it had been over a year we were planning it. And I said to myself, these kind of events take years to plan.
Yes.
Well, he says, if you want to be competitive, you better put your bid in before Christmas. And that was about, 35, 40 days in front of us.
And
so in any case, that's how it started.
Wow. And then when you, it's like the good news and bad news. The good news, you get the bid. The bad news, it's, oh, my God, we got to put this together. And these events are, it's one thing to put on a sprint race. When you're talking 140 miles of road and you're talking 112-mile bike ride and, you know, then the marathon, these are impactful for cities, especially a small town like, you know, Mont Tremblant. How did you, when you met with the mayor, met with the powers that be, what was their response?
Well, they were overwhelmed. And that was, I think, on a Thursday. And I asked permission to not come to work on the Friday, which they gave me. And I took my vehicle and I just drove courses over the weekend to come back on Monday with the courses that we have today. And I could have drove to Florida and come back, Bob, and I would have enough gas. I spent every minute of feeling and finding what we could offer. Now, our mayor was coming back, can you imagine, from a mountain trip, and he wasn't in for another week. And I said, I can't lose a week. So
no.
In any case, all these people didn't know me really at that point. And so I lost a week. And everything started on the next Monday with our mayor. And, you know, Bob, we never wanted just to host a start and a finish line in Mont Tremblant. The dream was we need to have this destination as a training destination, as a family destination, but 12 months a year. And that's what the goal was from the get-go. And so we had a lot of work in front of us. The roads weren't satisfied. We needed to have access to the waterfront in a larger tour process, and we needed the help of our government, provincial and federal governments. And without that, there was no way that we could have done that. And you can just imagine the mayor saying, "Well, we need to present in 28 days, and we need to meet with both level of governments." It was he had been in politics for just over, I think, 17 years at the time, and he says, "Listen, this is never, it had never been done." But we pulled through as a team, as a community together, and decision makers under one color and under one goal, which was Ironman, and bring this experience together. So forget which party, political party you're with. Forget whichever side of the fence you are. This project was in the neutral zone, and everybody was behind it. That was the strength of our presentation on December 2nd, 2010, in Tampa for WTC.
Wow. Well, and you had to get, about $10 million in road improvements, and then just in the last couple of years, then you're, because it's triathlon becomes part of the fabric of the community. And you guys built, what, a 50-meter pool in the community as well. So how important is multi-sport and triathlon to Mont Tremblant?
Well, you know, it really, there was a before Ironman and there's an after Ironman.
Yeah.
So we cannot live as we lived before we hosted those events in 2012. And those are all very positive items, meaning that the community has changed as well. You see our community at this point more active, living with physical activity more and more. The thousands of cyclists and runners and training camps heading to Mont Tremblant from May 1st to October surpasses me every year. And so when you see little children in our elementary schools presenting on Ironman, on the goals, on everything is possible, on having dreams and going to the end of your dream and succeeding, how tough it is when you cross that finish line at Ironman or at a 70.3 or even on a 51.50, there's a lesson to learn. And the beauty of this is our children being inspired. And those are the next one in line. And we've paved, this is a great example. There was an old train track, which is the bike, is the run course now. And we've paved it. We've paved it for just over 10 kilometers, more than the run. And it's not unusual over the weekend when you have a look on that trail to see how many families are pushing strollers, they're skating, they're walking, they're running, they're bicycling. That just did not happen in Mont Tremblant before Ironman arrived. Well, it just did not.
Yeah, that to me, I remember when Ironman Lake Placid started, and Ironman Lake Placid was really the first domestic event in the U.S., right? We had Kona, but it was the first U.S. event. And I remember people telling me that all of a sudden kids were running. All of a sudden there was a bike shop. All of a sudden people were coming there on the weekends to train for the race and staying in the hotels and eating in the restaurants. So the financial impact goes far beyond just race weekend, correct?
Oh, well, definitely. I mean, I've got to tell you, Bob, that over and above the race weekends, as I've mentioned, we never wanted to be a start and a finish line. That was never our goal. We wanted to be a goal where they come and discover us from May to October. And our next goal is from October to May, because we want to prove that you can train in triathlon in North America, in Eastern North America, when it's minus 32 and snowing outside. And so that's my next goal. And we are going to prove everybody that you can come and enjoy a week or 2 weeks in January.
Yes.
And have a wonderful training for triathlon. And you don't have to go to Spain and you don't have to go to hotter weathers. It's just that we need to adapt our situation with what triathletes need. And that's our next step.
So a little cross-country skiing, a little snowshoeing, a little indoor cycling, that type of thing?
Well, absolutely. And we have projects in mind that will have a kind of a village that will be able to host these kind of activities during the winter. And you know what? On your free day, well, you've got the greatest Eastern downhill ski resort and village right next door, nestled a few steps from your condo. So why don't you enjoy skiing or just a stroll in the village while you're taking a day off? That's where we want to go in 5 to 10 years.
I love that. And then the ultimate, 2014, you have the first Ironman 70.3 World Championships outside the U.S. You have a 51.50 race, another 70.3, and a full Ironman. You had four Ironman-related events there in Mont Tremblant in one summer, correct?
That's correct. It was just by hearing you saying it.
it sounds like a lot.
I'd like to have it back next year. But in any case, it was quite a privilege. I mean, listen, post the World Championship 70.3, and I've got to tell you that before doing all of that, it was important for us to understand the culture and to be close to WTC and Ironman to know what they're looking for. And I've got to say that we tried to understand their recipe that became our recipe, adjusted to our culture, and spending many, many times, many hours near the production of Diana Burchin in Hawaii, which I take very highly. And that was my goal. And it's still my goal because it's the pinnacle of what we do. And Hawaii for me is the top of the line. And we needed to be inspired by the top. And Diana's production was the top for me. And it still is.
It is.
And so I remember myself hiding in corners with my camera and taking pictures. And at that point, Diana did not know me, but the only thing she knew is that I was Mark's friend. Good thing I was Mark's friend, so I had the pass to stay where I was. But when I came back, we just adjusted what was going on that beautiful and unique island, and adjusted it to our reality back east. And then we were privileged to have Diana at our race in a few years, and she contributed to the success that we have. And so many elements from across the world, from Tampa. I mean, all of those teams up there that work so hard, they're part of this production as well. This is not a one-man show. This is a full company because they embrace what they do, and the athletes and their families, that's our goal.
And similar to Kona, your entire community embraces this event. And what is it, about 25% of your residents participate as volunteers and on committees to help out the race?
Well, that's correct. Just a bit more. We have a community of just over 9,000 permanent residents, and those 9,000, yes, we do have just over a year 4,500 volunteers that are needed to assure the safety, the experience, and the well-being of our races. And just over 25% comes from Mont-Tremblant and the region, the Laurentians.
So if somebody, you've got your 70.3 coming up on June 25th, and you've got your the Subaru Ironman Mont Tremblant on August 20th, if people want, this is a bucket list item for a lot of folks, so why should they come to Mont Tremblant?
Well, because we're very distinct. First of all, you'll find yourself in a European setting without being in Europe. And so the culture, the French-speaking language, the warmth that we allow when we host. And it's just that the production is hosted and nestled at the bottom of that beautiful mountain, which is Tremblant Resort. And with Mont-Tremblant, the lake at 360 degrees, when you do arrive here, when you do park your car, you do not have to take your car until you leave. And everything is in walking distance. And when we say walking distance, we're not saying an hour. We're saying at the most 8 minutes to 10 minutes at the most to get to the swim start. But wherever you are, nestled in the village of Ironman, at the bottom of the hills, when you turn 360 degrees, there's somebody or there's something that talks to you. It could be a family activity. It could be your transition zone that is making you dream. It could be the merchandising area. It could be the expo, which over 40 vendors are waiting for you to show you the latest gadget or a conversation or technical conversation that you need. You're looking up northeast. Well, you've got the slopes in front of you. You've got like Cabriolet, which is a free ride up to the top of the hill, to the mid part of the resort. And great dining. The food is unbelievable with our taste of who we are. Many family activities on resort and off resort as well. Saint-Gervais, the old village of Mont-Tremblant, a quaint, picturesque village where the run course goes through. Everything is accessible by walking distance. And it's an hour and a half, let's say an hour 45 minutes from the airport from Montreal. And so everything that we've tried to put together, and we still need to work harder to make it as close as Walt Disney did it in Orlando for their activities, we want to be the Walt Disney of triathlon.
I love that.
That's our goal. That's our goal.
So when you think back to August 19th, 2012, and this year was a five-year anniversary of that first ever Ironman Mont Tremblant, what do you remember before that cannon went off? I mean, it's one thing to have the vision. It's one thing to spend $10 million on roads. And then all of a sudden, here it is. Like you said, Disney, the curtain is going up. What were your thoughts when that race started?
Well, it's funny you're talking about that first start. They have a picture of myself on the dock, and I think I'm just in a position where I just can't believe what's happening, because we were able to witness our first mass start in 2012. And when you hear that cannon and then you see just over 2,000 athletes leaving at the same time, there's no explanation. You need to live it. And I will, until I die most probably, feel what I felt in front, and just in a awe factor where you are transformed, and it just goes through your body when you have all that energy of the morning, the families on the beach. It's, some of them are very quiet, some of them you feel them a bit more, but when that cannon goes off, it's indescribable. And I have to say that that start was very special, but we had a very special start as well in June 2012 for our first 70.3, where we were privileged to have the Canadian Air Force, where their demonstration team come up and does a flyby with their nine airplanes.
Wow.
And I was beside Mark Roy at the same at that point, and we just said, "This is just unbelievable." So every year, I have to say that the Canadian Armed Forces have been with us with flybys at every of our races, and it's part of our DNA. And that's to recognize our men and women that serves abroad and puts their lives in arm's way for us, and we want to remember.
I love it. So any special plans for the five-year anniversary?
Well, actually, the 50-year anniversary was last year.
This would be the sixth.
Right,
okay, 12th. Yeah, that's right.
But we'll find you more surprises, that's for sure. Definitely we have. We've built an under tunnel and underneath the tunnel that goes underneath the road that has our bike course. So the run will be straighter, and it'll be more picturesque. And we have as well on the bike course a little change on Highway 117. We'll bring you into a very warm village, and then coming out on the highway, in which our highway for 90 kilometers, our roads for the bike course is completely closed to traffic. So that's a sense of high security that we want to provide to our athletes and their families when they do come on our courses. Nothing is left behind. And I have to say, Bob, that over and above what we've all said, the community has really embraced Ironman as one of them. And with the foundation, with the Ironman Foundation that provided the investments, it kickstarted a project that could not have lifted if it would have not been for Ironman and the foundation to build this incredible Mont Tremblant Aquatic Center, which when you go there today, you see people training every day from 7 on in the morning to 9 p.m., and there's always minimum two lanes for training at all times. You could have swimming classes into the pool. They always allowed at least two lanes to train. And so you see the families coming in with the lessons for the young ones and the children, which was not available in the Laurentians where we are. We needed to travel outside of the region to get that done. And for me, that's the pinnacle of what we do. And without the community, we would not be here. And this is not a one-man show, but this is a complete community, federal, provincial governments, and a team of Ironman together. And there's a special DNA in Mont Tremblant, and you need to come and live it to come back and say, well, I need to come back again. And you were just saying again, before, is that it's not just on those race weekends or even on the destination of the training, but there's people that has invested into complexes here to build with a vision of having Ironmans into their community. And that, for me, is very overwhelming, completely very overwhelming when you see investments over $20 million done into areas where most of the buyers are Ironmans or 70.3 finishers. And so in the morning, during the weekends, you see those garage doors opening, and you see the bikes, and you see the chains, and then they're all saying, well, where are you going this morning, left and right? And there's some groups that forms, and then there's people that leaves alone. But they're all sharing the same energy and the same goals of reaching that finish line. And the lifestyle that we are giving ourselves when we do that sport.
Yeah, the other thing, when every time Ironman comes into a community, a lot of times, I mean, even in Lake Placid, those first couple of years, there weren't that many people who lived in Lake Placid who participated in the sport and certainly weren't doing Ironman Lake Placid. Now there's a bunch, and I'm sure that's the same thing in Mont Tremblant. Now you've got people who, this was an event that came to the city and brought great revenue and brought great excitement. Now the people who live there have gotten into the lifestyle and actually train and race for it.
Well, definitely, we've got some history that, you know, there's some sick kids in the region, and there's some people that said, hey, listen, we're waking up in the morning, we've got an Ironman in our backyard, and we're going to be Ironman finishers, and we're going to do it for these people that are more in need than us. And we came out with stories that even living in our community, we did not know about. And so it really helped us to get closer together. And when we achieve and we surpass the Ironman goals, and there's an objective here that helps sick children or individuals that are in need, well, there's no other way of saying, well, we're somewhere else that we were before 2012, and we're in a better place.
I love it.
Mont Tremblant is better today because of Ironman.
I love it. Dominique, thank you so much for taking so much time. Congratulations on everything you're doing. And again, the 70.3 is coming up June 25th, and the full is coming up on August 20th. Are both events open for registration, or are they closed already?
Well, can you believe the 70.3 has taken a few hours again in 2016 to sell out. So the 70.3 sold out for 2017. Even the 5150. Sold out in September for 2017, which is the Saturday before the 70.3. So that weekend, just over 4,500 athletes are registered.
I love it.
For that weekend. It's just something very special. But the Ironman is still open, and I welcome everybody.
I love it. Dominique, congratulations on everything you've done. Who would have thought when you were, you know, working as a policeman that now, are you still working as a policeman?
Well, you know, in 2013 in September, my chief of police said to me, says, well, you know, I've asked him, chief, may I take one more year? He says, I'd love to give it to you, Don, but you're going to have to choose. So I had to choose, and I stayed with Ironman in 2013 September. I left the force.
Ah, that's awesome. Congratulations, Dom, on everything that you're doing. And I appreciate it. I love it when people see the vision. A lot of people look at our events and say, they're going to block off the roads. They're going to keep people from getting to church. They're a pain in the butt. But when people understand that these are folks with high income and are passionate and they will change our cities for the better, then everybody wins. And what you've done there is set up a situation where everybody wins. It's great.
Well, thank you, Bob. And we welcome everybody. Merci beaucoup. And we hope to see you all in Mont Tremblant. I hope to shake all your hands if I can.
I love it. Again, with this, we are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series, by VeloFix.com, RunCatalina.com, Catalina Island Marathon, the 40th anniversary coming up on Saturday, March 11th. Again, our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $80 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on iTunes, on Babbittville. Definitely subscribe to our Endurance World newsletter. And as always, endurance lives here.